Good morning. We've gathered this morning to remember our Lord and Savior. It's one of the things that He asks us to do as we do this, to remember Him. I'm always overwhelmed. There is so much to remember. But this morning I put together a few verses that will help direct our thoughts, and it more or less runs parallel with the theme that we have had for our congregation this year of rejoicing in the Lord. When we finish, I hope that you will have spent a little bit of time in preparation and thinking about what the cost was. Why was it that Christ had to do what He did for us? What that sin really cost us, and that we had no method of solving that problem ourselves, but that Christ did. And at the end, there is one word that we'll look at as Christ speaks after He's been raised from the dead. So let's look at some verses. We'll begin in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Let's just read along. This has to do with the creation of man. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. He makes an assessment of all that He had done, and it's recorded for us in verse 31. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So evening and morning were the sixth day. At that point, man was good. The relationship was good. His home was good. Didn't last long. If we move to Genesis chapter 3, 17 through 19, we read about the fall, or man's first sin. Then to Adam He said, "Because you have heeded to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it.'" Not a difficult command. "Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistle it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." That's a problem. "For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And on the bottom it just talks about that all of us have this same conflict. We struggle with temptation. We yield to temptation. There is the realization of sin. And once we recognize, so often we realize, life can never be right again. I have to deal with the consequences. We have all eaten of the fruit. We have all listened, as Adam was told that you listened to your wife. You were moved by her and you sinned. We have all listened. Maybe to family, maybe to false teachers, maybe to media, our society in general. We have all listened. We've all eaten of the fruit. We all have the same problem that Adam did. What is the consequence? Genesis. "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." home is an important thing to me, and to think about people losing their home, that is not insignificant. When I think of the concept of home, it's really special for me. Some of you know this. Loretta and I grew up in Texarkana. My mom and dad still live on the same 10 acres that my grandfather bought when my mom was 3 months old. In her 80s, she still takes care of it. So when I go back, I remember going as a little bitty kid to Mimi's house and have Dr. Pepper floats. And then we moved in after she passed away and we took care of Grandpa. I shared a bedroom with my grandpa for a while when we first moved in before we remodeled it. I remember Daddy calling and saying, "Hey, I need to take the old dairy barn down." Meant a lot. Man lost his home because of sin. He lost his relationship with his father because of sin. Pretty much man had lost everything. But there's a solution. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Often we talk about mercy and grace. Mercy is when we are forgiven of something that we did. Grace goes beyond that and gives us something we could never deserve. And the Word became flesh, just like us, just like we struggle in the flesh, and dwelt among us, walked with us, dealt with the struggles of relationships, of rejection by His people, rejection by His family, rejection by His society. And we beheld His glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. While He was in that state, He overcame our enemy. And as demonstrated, we see that He overcame it because He knew the Word. He knew Scripture. He knew the commands that God had given. And just as the previous verse said, it was truth. It was truth. Matthew 4, verse 3 and 4. Satan said, "Command these stones to become bread." This is as he talks to Jesus, this man who had not had anything for 40 days. It was a real temptation. Sometimes we talk about chocolate's a temptation. This would have been a temptation. However, Jesus overcame the temptation. He did not, unlike Adam, listen and be persuaded. Jesus said, "It is written." Last week, I think it was in the bulletin, there was an article about which Bible do you have? Do you have just the pew Bible? Do you have the dusty Bible? Do you have a worn-out Bible? Jesus knew the Bible. He knew the Scripture. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We cannot live by that which we do not know. He continued to overcome Satan in the same manner. Satan said in verses 6 through 7, we read, "Throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Satan's just saying, if you're really who you say you are, do this. Keep in mind, he's still been without food for 40 days. Again, he used the same strategy because he knew the truth that is in God's Word. Jesus said, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And the final temptation, Matthew 4, 8 through 11. "Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" What do we have to worship in order to get the things of the world? Is it compliance with societal standards? Is it our boss? There are so many things that parallel this. Jesus had the answer, though. "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Many of you have been at work and been part of creating a mission statement. This is ours. This is our mission statement. Man's purpose: worship and serve God. Hallelujah. Christ also used some examples of how people respond when they lose something and the response they have when they get it back. In Luke 15, verse 4 through 6 is the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" Experience this similar emotion many times in our life. Have you ever been driving too fast and passed a police car? And you're like, "Oh!" And then what do? You look in the rearview mirror to see if he pulled out, or, "Oh good, he just stayed there. I'm safe." Sometimes people lose their job. Something happens, there's downsizing, a company's bought out. Suddenly they see everything lost. Sometimes it's illness of a family member. Everything that seemed important and relevant suddenly pales in comparison as we face such difficult times. Maybe you've been at work and it's mid-morning and your boss comes up and says, "Randy, I need to talk to you at the end of the day." How productive are you the rest of the day? What are you thinking about? Worst case scenario. I did that with one of the guys that works for me on Friday. I said, "Hey, on Monday I need to talk to you about something." He came in Monday and it was insignificant. I just needed to ask him to work with me on something. And he said, "Please don't ever do that to me again. I didn't sleep all weekend." When we think we've lost something that we value, it's a big deal. Sometimes it's not something really so big. You ever look for your keys? Lost your phone? What's it feel like when you get it back? "Oh man, everything's on my phone. Oh man, can't get in anywhere without my keys." Or for us parents, you're in the mall or in some big store and you look around and your child's not there. And we frantically start calling. Do you remember that feeling? Most of us have experienced that. Remember what it feels like? That feeling of relief when suddenly you find your child. Yeah, we've all been there. These are all the things that Jesus has done for us. And in this verse, he institutes what we're going to do in just a few minutes. Luke 22, 15 to 20. "Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" And I often ask myself, am I fervently desiring to gather with you guys Sunday morning and remember our Lord and Savior together? That's That's the pattern that Christ established for us. That's the emotion that we should strive to have. A fervent desire to come together on the Lord's Day to remember Him with my brothers and sisters who were also in Christ. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Luke 22, verse 70. This is before He's crucified. They're trying to come up with justification. Oh, we've tried to trip Him up in His words. We failed over and over. We just want something to justify what we already decided we want to do out of jealousy. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? So He said to them, you rightly say that I am. That's all they needed. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from His own mouth. And what were they going to kill Him for? He condemned them. He pointed out their sins. He made every effort to redeem them, to save them, to share the truth. They killed Him for speaking the truth. These verses are of Jesus being crucified, and yet it points out He was merciful even to those who were killing Him at the very moment. There were also two other criminals led with Him to be put to death, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him. And the criminals, one on the right, one on the other left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided His garments and cast lots. Jesus dies. Your price is paid. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, He breathed His last, which is something that every one of us will also do. We had a sister by the name of Lena Hunter in Tucson when I was a babe in Christ, and I remember her commenting, you young men, a lot of times you just leave Christ on the cross, but He rose. You leave Christ on the cross during the communion talk, but He rose. There were a lot of great lessons I had from that lady. Loretta and I both enjoyed our time with her, Lena Hunter. So let's look at that. Matthew 28, verse 5 and 6, as well as verse 9. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord laid. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice! So they came and held Him by the feet, and they worshiped Him. We've spent all this year focused on our theme, rejoicing in the Lord. Let us join together as we remember our Lord and Savior, and let us rejoice. Let us rejoice.